Pardon? You're not done. Oh, back here at the back. Would you come up here and sign this, please? It's not an easy thing for him to get up and down all this. You need to be able to appreciate the fact that you go to a formal church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, while you're at it, turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 2. Chris, when you get done, give that to him and Brother Dwayne. If you can make it, if you can make it, okay, just leave it up here on the platform and people can get to it after church. Okay, thank you. I appreciate you doing that. Okay, I pray God gives you extra strength and rest tonight.
Could you sing another song?
I'm afraid what the song might be. Thank you. Dwayne, wait before you sit down. Did you want to share a testimony or anything?
I had one, but Crystal robbed me of it.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
No,
okay. Please. Thank you. Amen.
Man, it was hard, but when you got back in there, and I'll be honest with you, I say too much probably. I cry like a little 8-year-old schoolgirl. When I get to see her, I got in there, I got to see her, and I just always need your mom.
Right.
Don't tell her, like, you know, regardless of how old you get or whatever, you don't have to be strong. You know, me and we have
Amen.
To be strong. We have to be this, we have to be that. But when you get around somebody where you can just be you, man, you just melt. I thank God for that.
Amen.
I wanted to see her. Then he said, you're never going to get to see her again. She's going to die, blah, blah, blah. And I just thank God for small things, which are big things.
Amen.
But I just thank God publicly that he opened up that door, and now it's just got to see her back-to-back weeks. And I just want to publicly thank God for that.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 2. And verse 5. After thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who shall render to every man according to his deeds. To them, we have a separation here, who will render, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. To them, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Let's pray a moment. Lord, we thank you for letting us give praise to you, to be reminded, Lord, that all good and perfect gifts come from you. Lord, to be able to just take some time out in the middle of the week and Lord, just come into your house with like-minded people, Lord, that want to serve you. And I ask you, Lord, that you would receive our desire to hear from you, to hear your word, to walk in it. And Lord, I ask you to help me to share exactly what you desire, and let every person that is here and those that are streaming with us, Lord, that that they would hear from you and be mindful of you. So we dedicate this time right now to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul is writing to the Christians at Rome, and he is making a separation of the two groups of people, which are those who are serving God and those who are not. And the end result. And so there is, in verse 7, to those who, with patient continuance and serving Him, He says to them, okay, there's eternal life. I want you to think about eternal life. You are going to live forever. He said, well, I don't want to. Tough. You're going to. But if we do not serve God, the life that we're going to live when we get into the forever is called death. Amen. So we have life and death. And we can go back all the way to Joshua, you know, as he says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You're going to serve God, serve God. You're going to serve Baal, serve Baal. But you get to choose life or death. So I want you to think about this thing of forever. Forever does not operate in the realm of time. It's hard for us to comprehend forever because we are time-oriented people. And that's okay. God made us that way. You know, He marked time by the seasons, by the day, with the moon, the sun, etc. God keeps track of time. But there's a place where there is not time. There's no time. I can't wrap my meager brain around that. There's no time. Okay, but you know, I fear lest we think about eternity as we think about it only as heaven, and maybe we should, as people who are serving Jesus, serve Him, believe that He is the Son of God, very God. But, you know, there's the other side also, you know, that He refers to here. You know, there's tribulation and anguish. Without eternal life with Jesus, it's not a good thing. No. It's not a good thing at all. And again, I want to assure you that God is not mad at people. It's not why they go to hell. They go to hell because they reject Him. And he makes it so simple. He said, if you will believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. One thing for sure, there's got to be more to it than that. There's more to it than that in living it. But, you know, I had told someone today, it's a pretty difficult to go to hell. I mean, you've got to put up with a lot to be lost, because God's going to deal with you. He's going to talk to you. He's going to put people in your life, and on and on and on. So you've got to really make some rejection, you know, to be lost. But He wants you to spend eternity with Him. I want you to think about eternity. The Bible talks about forever, everlasting, eternal. Talks about the unperishable. He talks about the incorruptible, about the immortality. You know, trying to tell us, hey, there's an existence for us that has no end. There's an existence for us that has no end. And that existence for us, He wants to spend with us forever. So let's look at a couple of things here. John chapter 10 says, in verse 10, He says, He has come that we might have life and that more abundantly. He's come that we might have life. Life. Now, this is not just existence. He's not talking about existence. He's talking about life that has no end. He has come to give us eternal life. I wish I could grasp a little better eternity. You see, there's forever. Eternity does not operate in the realm of time, so we just can't wrap our brains around that. But at the same time, it's so important. Because, as you know, we're as people, we are oriented towards profit and loss, towards gaining or losing, and so we think in those terms of like investing. We're going to invest in something. Now, sometimes people will, and sometimes people won't. Save for the future. It's a good thing to do. The Scripture teaches savings. He teaches us to save and to lay up for another day, whatever. The Bible teaches that. But why is it that we can't do the same thing for our forever? I mean, it's pretty straight. Okay, if this is true, if it's not true, it doesn't matter. Okay, but it is true. There is a forever out there. And forever is quite a while. I mean, it has no end. Everlasting has no end. We're talking about forever. No end. And it's the same word that is sometimes translated unperishable. It won't decay. It has no end to it. And we have that promise to us. Jesus died that we might have eternal life. And so I dare say in our 70 or 80 years or whatever we live, maybe shorter, maybe longer, but what is if we gain nothing out of that 70 or 80 years? What is if we gain nothing? What is if we had to live all of our lives as slaves, or if we had to, do without even the most meager things of life. But then we got to live forever in a position whereby we never get sick and we never have a sorrow. Amen. We never have a sorrow. Amen. You're never sad. You never have. Even the first Monday of the week, much less two or three. You're never, ever sorrowful. Ever. And well, that's kind of the way it is. But I think we need to be challenged to weigh this. Now, there's things that we save up for. Sometimes, I was talking to the school children here today, and it's amazing how much these youngsters grasp, talking about the preparation, preparing for things, and I had shared with them, how many of you had an egg for breakfast, and a couple of them raised their hands, and well, they both had them scrambled. I said, well, one is if your mother just didn't have time, and they just cracked you an egg, and said, here, eat this, it's an egg. And she never prepared that egg. Boy, that'd make a difference, wouldn't it? And some of them, they had cereal. And, I tried to convince them, that wouldn't it be the same thing if they just ate some cereal and then drank some milk? And if they wanted sugar on it, take a spoonful of sugar and send it down, they didn't buy that either. But, we prepare things. We prepare things. And how dare we not prepare for forever? Amen. Okay, so in this preparation, we need to be helping other people prepare. Amen. For forever. I mean, this is forever. Go with me to 1 Peter. Back almost to Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 3, keeping that in mind, kind of let these words soak in. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, this is according to how much mercy He has, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again. We've been born. That's God's terminology. Whenever we will accept Him as our Savior, God calls that being born again. Because you get to start all over. Old things have passed away and all things become new. And so He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we go from this place of no hope to a place of hope, lively hope, lively hope. If we can comprehend this, folks, if we can comprehend the eternal and what awaits us, it ought to give us not just a hope, but a lively hope. Whatever we go through for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110 years, it's nothing compared to forever. We think about the Old Testament individuals, you know, back in the days of Noah and Methuselah. And, you know, a lot of those people lived to be over 850, 900 years old. Now, that's a long time. Okay? But still, even at that, that's nothing compared to eternity. What would it profit a man if he lost his soul, even having gained the whole world? What would it profit a man? Gained everything he ever wanted. Well, you know, if there's ever anyone that got everything they wanted, it would have been, I think, mentioned in Scripture, Solomon. Solomon said he did. He said, there was nothing that I wanted that I didn't get. Whatever his heart desired, Solomon got it. And yet, his conclusion of the whole matter was the Word of God. The Word of God. That is what it's all about. And serving God. So, here's this lively hope, if you would please. We are born again. Okay, when we give our lives to Jesus, ask Him to forgive us. He has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, Him coming from the to an inheritance. Look at that word, incorruptible. Forever is in the realm of the incorruptible. You might read on the contents of something that it is perishable or unperishable. But it really isn't unperishable. We don't really know of anything that's unperishable, not in our secular realm. But there's an inheritance. We get an inheritance, which are these things he mentions in the preceding two verses. We get an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled. It has no defects in it, and it doesn't fade away. And this is reserved in heaven for, put your name there, you. It's reserved in heaven for us. We cannot, I don't think we even really try, but we could not, if we did, comprehend what heaven is like. And sometimes I think we think there's a heaven but not a hell. That there's not an existence besides heaven. Well, you know, if you accept Jesus as your substitute, you get to go to heaven. If you don't, you turn to dirt. No, that's not true. Because it's not true. God says so. And see, again, this is a spirit realm thing. You know, our spirit man lives forever. Our spirit man is dead forever, so to speak. He calls it death. It's not death, it's existence, but it's so far removed from what God has for them, God calls it death. But it's still existence. But Why would a person want to trade anything, anything, for the things of this life and end up with nothing, less than nothing? I think we need to stir ourselves to this reality. So he says, this is reserved in heaven for you, you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. You are kept by God by faith, not by your works. It's not what you do that's going to keep you in tune with God. Okay, it's by faith in Him, unto salvation. And this salvation he's talking about is when we're finally completed, you know, we get our new body and such, which, he says, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold or many temptations. So, we can rejoice. We rejoice in what? We rejoice in what lies before us. We often say, you know, when someone dies, well, we lost so-and-so. They're not lost if they're in heaven. Okay. They're not lost. They're found. Okay. I mean, this is, we've often said, the best thing ever happened to you is to die if you're ready to go. And so we may go through this time of heaviness. We go through heaviness, through many trials, he says. Well, there's a lot of trials in life, isn't there? Through many, many trials. And this is, that the trial of your faith, verse 7, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, it's more precious. It's not just more precious, it's much more precious. The many-sided trials we go through are precious. Well, if that be the case, maybe we ought to look at our trials differently. They're there as a precious resource. These trials are much more precious than of gold, which will perish, by the way, though it be tried with fire. I mean, you get the purest gold, it'll still perish. He says that the trials of your faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, or when this is all over for us. Okay, so we're going to understand it better by and by. But His Word tells us, hey, you're going to have to go through some things. Okay, it might be. But hey, these things you go through, I'm going to make them work for your good. I'm going to make them work for your good. It's kind of like a child. You know, a baby just learning to stand tries to pick up a ball, and the ball's too heavy for them. But in a few years, they can lift up a bigger ball because they've been exercising themselves. Same way, we go through trials and such, and we're exercising our faith, these trials of faith. And there's a reason for it, because in the forever, we don't know what all takes place. But we do know that place called heaven is a big place. And not only that, but we also know that all of God's creation, the universe, is not just going to pass away. You know, you're going to make a new heaven and a new earth. What's it all about? I don't know. It's sure worth sticking around and seeing. Okay, by sticking around, I mean stick with Him. Okay, so he says, all of this will be found in praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Okay, let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 14. And you remember this very well, where he says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, he says. In my Father's house are many mansions. You believe that? You know, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you so, he says. This is true. Heaven is so big. And I've got to tell you, maybe, you know, if there's one person here I've never shared this with, I've got to share with you just one more time. Is right over here between these two windows over here, the third and fourth window here. I was walking there one day, I was just praying, and God said to me, he said, did you know heaven is round? And my thought was, so what? And he spoke to me again. And he said, did you know heaven is round? I said, whoa, wait a minute here. Heaven is round? You know, heaven, I always pictured heaven as a place, you know. But what difference does it make whether it's round or not? But I've never forgotten that. You know, when he showed me, you know, as earth is round, anywhere you are on earth is up. Wherever you are, out is up. And earth, you know, in God's creation of things, earth is the center. The center of the earth is Jerusalem. Okay, God gives an idea of how he looks at things, okay. But anyhow, here we have the universe. Now, we know, and I believe it, that millions of light years, you go out and you're still in our universe. And that's how far light travels in a million years. Okay, but we're talking about millions of years. I mean, you can go a long way before you get to the end of the universe. Are you with me? You go out that far, and you're going to come to heaven. Heaven, when beings come from heaven, they come down from heaven, the scripture says. When we go to heaven, we go up to heaven. Jesus said he ascended into heaven. He didn't just vanish from one place to another. He ascended unto heaven. He said he descended from heaven. That means he came down. Hello, way out there. It's heaven. And any way you go, it's up. Just like if you're on the other side of the earth, it's still up. Out is up. How big does that make heaven? No wonder he said there's this new Jerusalem that's the city is 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles square each way. You think you get lost in Owensboro? I mean, why wouldn't it be? You know, I mean, that would probably be just a little small village and as big as heaven is. Heaven. In a place where this one who has lived forever, God has always been. All that has been made, God made. There's nothing made he didn't make. And so he made all things. And so in his Father's house, Jesus said, are many mansions. There's room for many mansions. No matter if everyone that ever lived on planet Earth went to his Father's house, there's plenty of room for mansions. I mean, we're talking about heaven is so large. And so he spoke to my heart and said, did you know that heaven is round? No, I didn't know heaven is round. I never even thought about heaven being round. But it sure made me appreciate heaven. So, that's where eternity is, friend. And God so loved us that he paid the price and made it possible for us to have eternal, forever life in that place where there's no sorrow, there's no sadness, there's no sickness, there's no death. It's forever. So, So in my Father's house are many mansions, he says. And if it wasn't so, I would have told you so. But in this need, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You think he doesn't love you? He'll do all of that just so he can hang out with you. The whole purpose of this whole thing of God creating all this, Jesus dying for us, is so you can be with him. He said, I'll come and get you. I will come and get you and take you so that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that neat? The last part of verse 3. Where I am, there you can be. You think God doesn't care about you today? When he made it possible, just because he liked you, that you can be with him forever? Wow. You wouldn't even want to put up with me forever. Especially here on earth. But he changes us, doesn't he? I'm going to want to put up with me forever. With this whole mortal body. But think about the love of God. That he made it possible. That we can have eternal life as an incorruptible creation that never has a negative thing going on in their lives, ever. Not forever. Forever. Wow. The amazing promises of God. Well, Scripture tells us a whole lot about this place that is unperishable, incorruptible, eternal, forever and ever sometimes. He says forever and ever. And so if we can see the profit and loss of this, what do we have to invest to get this? What sacrifice is there that is worth missing heaven for? What is it that we would like to have that would be worth missing heaven for? Now, if we say this is pretty preposterous, you know, it is. He said we can't understand it, but I believe it. I believe it. I know that he took my life as a life of sin. I remember thinking one day on a Saturday night, I was going to die that night. And I knew if I died, I would be lost. Of course, we know anybody in the right mind would repent. But me, not being in my right mind, I didn't. And I was amazed. I never forget waking up that Saturday morning and seeing the sun shine through the window. Wow, God had given me another day. And wow, that's love, folks. He done all this so we could have eternal life. See, we're a living soul because he gave us his spirit. He breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. And so now we are living soul. We're not an accident going someplace to happen. We are living spirit beings. And we're going to live forever. You're going to live forever someplace. And Paul says, I suppose it's not to be compared with the suffering that we go through now and the glory that's going to be ours later. That's right, you can't compare it. You know, wow, we're so blessed, folks. Keep your eye on the eternal, the forever, the forever. Oh, we are so blessed. You know, even we think about in the Hebrew, there's not really even a word for that. It's just almost incomprehensible. But that's okay. There is a forever. Well, stand together with us. If there's anyone did not get to sign the food list for, let me say this again, Sister Donna Kratzer's husband, Don.